God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Ladies, you need to rise and speak out. According to TheBlaze.com, a trans female MMA fighter has delivered a life-altering blow to a biological female competitor. Now here's the punchline, and pardon the pun. A sports writer for a prolific LGBTQ media outlet said that Fallon Fox, a transgender female MMA competitor who was biologically born a male, is the bravest athlete in history. Hello, friends. This is Pastor Larry. Thank you for tuning in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. Fallon Fox, 44 years of age, once broke a female competitor's skull during a 2014 fight. OutSports contributor Sid Zeigler recently praised Fox's performance and said that Fox is easily the bravest athlete in all history. Zeigler wrote, quote, "She's been inducted in the LGBT Sports Hall of Fame. She is an indelible part of LGBT sports history, and maybe most importantly, she generated conversations and opened possibilities for trans athletes in women's sports that will be felt for generations," close quotes. During a fight against Tamika Brents in 2014, Fox gave Brents a concussion and broke 7 orbital bones. The fight lasted a whole 3 minutes. Brents was not aware at the time that Fox had transitioned from male to female. "I can't answer whether it's because she was born a man or not, because I'm not a doctor," Brent said. "I can only say I've never felt so overpowered ever in my life, and I am an abnormally strong female in my own right. I still disagree with Fox fighting. Any other job or career, I say, well, have a go at it. But when it comes to a combat sport, I think it just isn't fair." Close quote. We're back with our friend Michael Samuel Smith, and we've invited him to come back and talk about a subject that's very, 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 very much on the minds of people of faith today. The subject, where is America now, and where do we go from here? You know, friends, when President Trump decided to run for president in the summer of 2015, Brother Mike, then a commercial airline pilot, felt there was a strong connection between Israel's ancient history and where we are in the American experience today. And so Brother Mike published email articles showing parallels between Donald Trump, King Cyrus, the Persian king who allowed the Jews to return to Israel after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, as well as the Bible character Jehu in 2 Kings, and also President Harry Truman. And so after sending out about 30 emails across the United States, as well as to a ministry in Israel, Brother Mike decided to create a Bible DVD film called The Cyrus Effect. And we actually interviewed Mike here right on Southwest Radio Church about that film. He was also interviewed on a well-known TV prophecy show. After The Cyrus Effect was completed, one courtesy copy was sent to Melania Trump, as well as her daughter Ivanka, where both worked at the White House at that time. And about 4 months later, Brother Mike received a personal letter from President Donald Trump on Oval Office stationery with the famous felt-tip pen signature thanking him for the DVD, as well as Michael's military service. Wow, that's so impressive. So as we begin our interview, Brother Mike, you believe America has a parallel connection with ancient Israel. Take a moment and tell us why you believe that.
Okay, I'll be happy to. As most of you know, King David was king for 40 years before he died. He was followed by his son Solomon, who also served 40 years, and then he died. After Solomon's death, the nation split in two, politically speaking. He had two sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And Pastor Larry, down here in Texas, we like to call them the Boam boys. And they took over. But Jeroboam went to the north and started another kingdom, referred to as the northern kingdom, sometimes referred to as Israel. And of course, Judah was the kingdom in the south. He instituted a false religion there north, where golden calves were set up. In other words, there was a false religion set up, and the golden calves were to compete against the southern kingdom in the temple in Jerusalem. And just as David and Solomon ruled a total of 80 years together, the kingdom split north and south. And when the 80 years was up, the kingdom was divided. God had sent prophets to warn the northern kingdom to repent, or he would send in the Assyrians to overthrow the land. Of course, there were 10 tribes that were associated with the northern kingdom. They never did repent, and the Assyrians came and destroyed the northern kingdom in 722 BC, and the 10 tribes were carried away off to the four corners of the earth. Some years later, the southern kingdom, led by Rehoboam, which had 2 tribes, also went into apostasy, and the Lord sent prophets to warn them, but they too did not repent. And in 586 BC, the southern kingdom went into captivity to Babylon for exactly 70 years, exactly as God had warned them that it would be 70 years. What's that got to do with America? Well, it's got something to do with America, obviously, or we wouldn't be talking about it. I want to go back to the American Revolutionary War. And the American Revolution, the war had ended in the year 1781, October 1781. And America had lived in relative peace for a number of years. However, like ancient Israel, when the 80th year came, and if you add 80 to in the American Revolution when it ended, 1781, if you add 80 years to that, you come up with the year 1861, and we had a war, and America was split down the middle, and we had a civil war. It was exactly 80 years after the end of the Revolutionary War. So that's one of the reasons that I do believe that there is, in fact, a parallel to that story.
Well, you did mention over the phone with me not long ago that there are several parallels about Israel's northern kingdom 2,500 years ago and what the Progressive Democrat Party is pushing for here in America right now. Tell us about that, because that's really important. What can we learn about that?
Well, you know, the northern kingdom started a false religion. And I believe in 2016, after President Trump became our president, the Democratic Party had also started a religion, if you will. Okay, and of course, the other parallels with the Northern Kingdom, too. Of course, in the Northern Kingdom, they had Baal worship, which sacrificed human babies. Okay, in other words, abortion for the first time was introduced in Israel in the Northern Empire because of Jezebel being married to Ahab in the Northern Kingdom and all that. So there are some parallels, and I think that's one of the parallels. The Democrats are starting a movement that is absolutely, totally against God. And those were a couple parallels to the ancient kingdom.
Well, you received a phone call from a close Christian friend in, it was July of 2017. He asked you if it's possible to know what will happen after Mr. Trump is out of office someday. Can you tell us what was said and how that transpired?
Well, that was one of my close Christian friends, Ron Ench. I've known him over 30 years. We were both airline pilots in the same airline as well. He's retired now. He lives in Branson, Missouri. And him and his wife, Lynn, are very, very astute Bible scholars, by the way. But anyway, he called me in the summer of 2017 in July and said, you know, Mr. Trump's been president now for about 6 months. And, of course, Ron had gotten or had received all of my emails going back many years ago, including 2015, talking about the comparison with Donald Trump and Cyrus and all that. But he asked me, looking at the Bible, can we sort of get a glimpse at where this is going to go with President Trump and where America is going? And I told him, if the story of Ahab and Jezebel and Jehu, which is in 2 Kings, probably around chapter 5 through chapter 9. If that story is still being played out with America, and I do believe it is, that's another show, if you will, that I think we could know where America is heading. So what ended up happening with Jehu is, you know, Jehu took out Jezebel, and the prophet had anointed Jehu to be the king. You know, he was like a four-star general under Ahab. You know, and you know, he, in other words, he believed in the values of King Ahab and Jezebel, but then he changed totally, just like Donald Trump. He was for abortion, long before the campaign, and then he changed completely. And there's a lot of parallels there with all that. But I think what I told Brother Ron was, if we look at the story of Jehu in 2 Kings, and if that story is still being played out today, I think we can know where America's going. So let me go towards the end with Jehu. Of course, he brings an end to Baal worship in Israel after he becomes the king. In other words, abortion is overthrown, if you will. However, the Lord had talked to Jehu and told him, you know, you did a great job taking out Baal worship and all that. However, we still have a problem, and that's idolatry. Idolatry never went away, and the sins of Rehoboam never went away either. So based on that story, and by the way, after Jehu had passed away, that was it. You know, now he did have four generations after him, but none of them became important. In other words, they're off the pages of history. So it ends with Jehu, basically, politically speaking. I think we can see the same thing with Donald Trump in a way, that now that he's gone, if there's a parallel with ancient Israel, the Northern Kingdom, we will continue down the slippery slope of sin, of idolatry, if you will, of rebellion. Now, what happened to them after that? They were taken out by the Assyrians, and we know that story. Now, I don't think we're going to be overthrown, I mean literally physically overthrown, by the Russians and the Chinese and the enemies. However, I do believe that, of course, Israel, you know, the Northern Kingdom went off the deep end. I think maybe politically speaking, maybe we're going off the deep end as well. Now, is there no hope? Well, if Nineveh can repent, America can repent. But I did want to make that comparison with that phone call.
Well, looking back over the last 4 years of Mr. Trump's administration, what's different about Donald Trump and other past presidents?
Boy, that's a good question, Pastor Larry. As we look back over President Trump's last 4 years, we can clearly say he was the most pro-life president ever in United States history. He stood firmly for Christian education, and he believed the parents had the authority over their children. He put in place some of the most conservative Supreme Court justices and placed hundreds of conservative federal judges throughout the country. He is the only president who allowed Christian counsel in his office of all 4 years. And he was the only world leader in 2,500 years to recognize Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel, along with the Golan Heights. So that's some of the differences with President Trump.
I know there's so many others I love. Religious liberty, helping the persecuted church, that parents should have the right to school choice. You know, the liberals want just one story, the party line. But he had so many things, and I know some people got angry at him, but I think his core values were amazing. And his speech at Christmas time and his speeches at pro-life rallies and so forth were absolutely amazing. I mean, they resonated with my heart and yours and millions of other Americans. So God bless Donald Trump and his family. But Brother Mike, I know you're not the first to make the comparison, but I know you are of the opinion Joe Biden and Kamala Harris placed a Trojan horse at America's front gate. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's a good question, and I don't mind sharing this. Many of us are familiar with Homer's Odyssey, the book written a long time ago, the story about the Trojan horse at Troy. We know it's probably a true story since he wrote about it in his book. The Greeks weren't strong enough to overthrow Troy, so they devised a plan to build a gigantic wooden horse that could secretly hold soldiers in it. So they left the horse in front of the city gate at Troy and hid away some distance away. The people at Troy thought perhaps it's a horse that they gave them to honor their gods. So they dragged the horse into the city. Once in the city, the Greek soldiers that were in the horse exited the horse through trapdoors and attacked. In the end, the Greeks overthrew Troy because Troy took in the horse. When America voted in Joe Biden as president and Kamala Harris, they invited a Trojan horse into the camp. and enemy evil forces are now fixing to attack our Judeo-Christian values. The Trojan horse represents the Democratic Party. Here's some very important information you need to know. It was recently published in USA Today. Christian nationalism is a threat, and not just from capital attackers invoking Jesus' name. Pay very close attention about what I'm going to share with you. In the article published by the Harbinger Daily, it cites a 28-page document outlining what the Biden White House is pushing for. Number one, they are demanding the Biden clamp down on conservative Christians and remove them from public office and re-educate Trump voters. Number two, eliminate government support of all crisis pregnancy centers and all abstinence-only education programs in the school. Number three, deny free speech and religious liberty to select Americans based on their religious beliefs. Number four, and I'm almost finished, number four, to remove In God We Trust from the U.S. currency. Number five, repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And number six, rescind and replace the Trump Department of Justice federal protections for religious liberties.
Very, very serious. And it's like the enemy coming in like a flood. I'm trusting God, and I believe that God has a remnant in America. This is a spiritual battle of apocalyptic dimensions, and we as God's people, we as the remnant, you, me, probably our listeners, we need to be broken in heart. We need to be praying to the Lord. We need to believe that He is still the God of miracles and power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. We need to stop playing our little religious games that we get caught up in and waste so much time and divide the camp. And above all, we need to be strong in the Lord. Well, brother, my great, great series, I certainly, especially Where is America Now and Where Are We Headed? Very, very powerful. A call to faith, a call to prayer. So, brother, thank you so much for all these good shows.
Well, thank you for having me, Pastor Larry, and God bless you and Southwest Radio.
Wow, what a great show that was, and I hope you've been blessed. Our announcer will come to the mic. It is Marvin, not Matthew. We've had some changes around here for the bad weather, and Marvin is going to come and tell you how you can get this excellent material.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. We have a terrific offer for our listeners today. It's five, count them, five of Michael Smith's DVDs. Not just any five, but five of his best. I don't have time to run through what each one is about, but the great thing about this offer is there's something for everyone. First up is the DVD titled Joseph in Egypt. The second is titled The Samson Paradox. The third is Crossing Jordan to Reach Jericho. Number four is one of my favorites, and it's titled The Mystery of the Red Heifer. And number five is The Next Rapture. All of these are very educational and very interesting to watch. Our special offer today is to get all five DVDs for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $60 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order these wonderful DVDs on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Governor Kristi Noem and conservative legislators in South Dakota are not afraid to tackle big issues, especially those that put the people of South Dakota in a position of disadvantage because of constitutional violations by the President of the United States and other left-wing bodies. A legislative proposal in South Dakota's House of Representatives seeks to give the state's Attorney General the authority to review presidential executive orders and nullify those deemed unconstitutional.
State Representative Aaron Elward introduced HB 1194, which is described as an act to authorize the review of certain executive orders issued by the President of the United States. The process starts with a review by the Executive Council of the Legislative Research Board, then a referral from the Council sent to the State Attorney General and the Governor. Once the referral has been made, the Attorney General may examine the order to determine whether the state can seek an exemption or declare it unconstitutional, the report stated.
The proposed bill would also allow the Attorney General to block implementation of any order deemed unconstitutional if the order refers to a pandemic or other public health emergency, the regulation of natural resources, the regulation of the agricultural industry, the regulation of land use, the regulation of the financial sector through the imposition of environmental, social, or governance standards, the regulation of the constitutional right to keep and bear arms.
South Dakota State Representative Aaron Elwert commented, quote, "This isn't just a President Biden issue, but rather an overall executive overreach issue that we've been experiencing for a long time. The U.S. Congress has abdicated their duty for a long time in different areas. This bill is simply setting up a process to nullify acts that would be unconstitutional. When looking at the U.S. Constitution, the President only has the powers that are laid out in Article 2, Elwert said.
Meanwhile, the establishment media has attacked South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem for her handling of the coronavirus, particularly for allowing citizens to enjoy more freedoms and earn a living during the pandemic.
Conservative media noted that the governor refused to impose draconian orders as other governors, such as New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, shuttering so-called non-essential businesses and heavily restricting basic activities. Despite the criticism, Governor Noem vowed that South Dakota would remain open as the country deals with the coronavirus.
The church at Laodicea was the lukewarm church. It was a church that was bored, apathetic, and unconcerned. They were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. And Jesus told them plainly, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." This was the only church of the seven concerning which Jesus had nothing positive to say. Apathy is deadly. Concerning two of the churches, Jesus had nothing but praise. He had nothing but good comments. He approved of them. Some of the churches had some good things, but Jesus said they had a few things they needed to correct. But the church at Laodicea, there was nothing good about it. Their apathy was a death sentence. Jesus was going to spit them out of his mouth. This apathetic church did not think that their apathy was a big deal, but it was a big deal. Apathy is always a big deal.
Here's the problem with apathy. You become apathetic about your apathy. You don't care that you don't care. It's like having a deadly disease, but you don't care that you have that disease. You are not going to go to the doctor. You are not going to take his advice. You aren't going to take any prescribed medication.
Apathy is the religion of the modern world. An apathetic church feeds our culture's perception that religion is just that, religion. It is nice. It is okay. It makes you feel good. People ought to go to church once in a while. We'll show up at Christmas. We'll smile at the pastor so we will have the funeral for grandma and perform the wedding for our daughter. Some people want to be respectable members of the community, so they go to church. Parents sometimes tell their children, "You should not be an atheist. There really is a God." But they also tell their kids, "Don't get too serious about this guy, Jesus."
The thing that makes apathy so serious is that it does not give Jesus Christ the honor and respect that he deserves. He is the Son of God. He loves the people of the world so much that he died for them, that they might be saved. Apathy is so out of sync with the glory of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Supposing you go to an elementary school art fair. You smile at the gaudy colors in the pictures. You are not too excited about that, but you smile and you want to support the kids. So you go to the elementary school art fair. But supposing you went to the Sistine Chapel in Rome or went to the Louvre in Paris, France, and you are still bored, that would not be good. It is out of sync and not in keeping with the greatness of the art. We should not be apathetic about Jesus or about our faith in Him. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world.
Apathetic people don't care. In fact, they don't care that they don't care. But that can suddenly change. Here's a piece circulating on the internet that has no name attached to it. It's not original with us. It certainly makes the point, though. We could also title this Political Correctness Backfires.
I never cared if you were gay until you started shoving it down my throat. I never cared what color you were until you started blaming me for your problems. I never cared about your political affiliation until you started to condemn me for mine. I never cared where you're from until you began condemning people based on where they were born and the history that makes them who they are. I never cared if you're well off until you started calling me names for working hard and bettering myself. I never cared if your beliefs are different than mine until you said my beliefs are wrong. Now, I care. I've given all the tolerance I have to give. This is no longer my problem. It's your problem. You can still fix it. It's not too late, but it will be soon. I'm a very patient person at times, but I'm about out of patience. There are millions of people just like me. We've had enough. It's time to restore law and order, too.
The author of these lines has brought out a good point. Those who are trying to destroy America may soon find out they are destroying themselves. Americans, for the most part, have big hearts and contribute to the needs of people even in foreign nations. Good people don't mind supporting and helping, but they sure don't want to be mislabeled by the confused and the foolish.
The rapture of the church may be the most divisive of all subjects facing Jesus' church today. Some believe it will happen before the Great Tribulation. God would not pour His wrath out on His children. Some believe it will happen during the tribulation. The church may suffer a bit. And some believe it will happen at the end of the tribulation when everything is made right. To find out more, you should order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can always visit us online on our website at swrc.com. If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube. Thanks for joining us today. Join us Monday as we begin a new series here on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.